This is Discover Your Past, your podcast about the history of Quebec's Eastern Townships, its peoples, politics, and economy. My name is Jacqueline Collar, and today we will talk about cultural identity in the 19th century. The Eastern Townships are known to have a distinct cultural identity. Their geographic location is largely responsible for this. This borderland territory served as an intermediary between Canada and the United States. As such, three different realities played a role in the development of a local cultural identity. Firstly, the Eastern Townships acted as a relay to New England states such as Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. Secondly, the region played a pivotal role in the development of imperial dominance over the territory thanks to the influence of colonial authorities and to immigration from the British Isles. Finally, French-Canadian society would also come to have an impact on local identity. These three distinct factors related to time and space had a significant impact on the region's demographic profile, its culture, and its economy. The Eastern Townships are also known for their unique system of land occupation. Contrary to the French tradition that consisted of building seigneuries and establishing lands that were subject to seigneurial rights, colonial administration in the area ceded lands in what was called free tenure and full ownership, and these lands became known as townships. Once an individual became owner of the land, he was free to dispose of it as he pleased. This long-established system, dating back to the old American colonies, appealed to Americans who valued equality and independence. For some time, in the absence of a framework imposed by local authorities, the first American settlers would be self-sufficient by building their own roads and opening their own schools. As for the colonial administration, consisting of upper-level leaders and non-elected members of the province executive council, it would seek to organize this region, which, in its view, was becoming far too American. To this end, it sought to establish a local gentry, that is, the presence of a small, rural nobility, following the British model, in order to halt the growing Republican mentality among newcomers. As of the 1840s, the region became more accessible to French-Canadian settlers. The roads were passable, and industrialization, which increased the local demand for workers, attracted Francophones to the townships. These individuals were often hired as seasonal workers or as laborers. A mass wave of Francophone settlers in the region considerably changed the local demographic equilibrium. Fairly absent at the beginning of the century, they formed much of the local population 100 years later. The Eastern Townships were, throughout the 19th century, a region that saw significant immigration and emigration. The various waves of migration, comprised of American, British, Scottish, Irish, and French-Canadian, contributed to its development. Likewise, it should not be forgotten that there were also several waves of emigration, and many left the area for the American and Canadian West. Did you know Lydia Sawyer's Diaries? Lydia LeBarry was born in Quebec in 1803 or 1804, the daughter of Rufus and Olive LeBarry. Her first marriage was to Thomas K. Outred, who was a teacher and private land agent during his lifetime. The couple lived in Eaton Township, not far from Cookshire, and had three children, Harriet, Susan, and Eliza. Thomas died in 1839, and Lydia remarried a number of years later, in 1852, to John Sawyer. After her second marriage, Lydia began keeping a diary. Although her entries are usually brief and discuss what most might consider the mundane things of life, her writings cover a variety of subjects and give us a valuable window into life in Eden during the mid-1800s. In an entry from 1856, Lydia described how it rained every day through most of the month of August, from the 3rd to the 30th. In fact, so much rain fell that it flooded the fields and carried large quantities of hay downriver. According to her July 1st entry in 1868, Canada's very first Dominion Day had temperatures that climbed into the 30s. In January of 1856, Lydia mentioned an outbreak of smallpox in the neighborhood. She also indicated when relatives and neighbors welcomed a new baby into the world, and likewise, she noted when someone died. Not unlike many diarists of this time period, many of Lydia's notes related to the weather and farming activities, such as planting, frost, and harvest. Notably, she consistently jotted down when sugaring began each year, most often around April 1st. Join us next time when we talk about the division of land into townships.
Discover Your Past is produced by the Eastern Townships Resource Center and Toast Radio, the student radio station at Bishop's University. The podcast has been made possible through funding from the Quebec government's Secretariat for Relations with English-Speaking Quebecers.